Welcome to Penance and Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Wesley.
And this is the podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not.
It's been a wintry hell here recently.
Yeah, it was not a fun week for me. I got a migraine because of the snow. And I always get a migraine before and after any storm, so like rain or snow. But I don't actually have one during the snowstorm or rainstorm. I'm completely fine.
For that big blizzard last year, that must have been a fucking nightmare.
It was. And that was also the time, like, right after you had almost broken my toe.
No, that couldn't have been too soon after, because when that big blizzard happened, the next day I tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, I know. So I had to, like, go to work in those flats and, like, drag my ass through, like, a foot of snow to get to my car.
And, like, with a broken, almost broken toe.
Like, on any other day, I would have been like, nope, not fucking doing it. No, thank you. But I also knew that the nurses at my job had been stuck there for, like, the past 24 hours. Because the shift there to replace them hadn't been able to make it in because of the storm. And so I was like, I need to get my ass in there and help. Because they've been there for forever. So I actually got my butt in there. Honestly, getting my butt into the car, like from my door to the car, was harder than the drive-in. Even though, like, everyone else was getting stuck, just me getting from the door to the car was way harder.
Well, do you still have your Xterra then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she used to have an Xterra.
Yeah.
Nice SUV.
It was a snow beast.
Yeah.
And then she
crashed it.
I could have climbed mountains on that thing.
I'm not the only person who crashes cars here.
Thanks, Wes. Always great for my self-esteem.
Okay, at least I've crashed more cars than you.
That's true.
I realized the phrasing of that as I was talking. But, yeah. I have totaled 3 cars now. I counted the other day. The ones I was and wasn't driving in, the total is 7.
Ow.
2 of those were with you. You were the one driving.
My wallet is screaming, even though most of those weren't mine.
I know.
Anyways.
Do we have any announcements? Beat you to it this week, Linda.
This was one of those very few moments where our brains are actually on the same track.
That never happens.
Probably because we have the same outline every week. I don't think we have any outlines.
Announcements?
I don't think we have any outlines. I don't think we have any announcements this week.
How would you feel if I made you talk first this episode?
What do you mean?
Made you do your story first?
That's not happening.
Maybe for episode 50 I'll make you go first.
No.
I have something fun planned.
We have a lot of fun things planned. It's going to be a riot.
And by a riot,
I mean it's just going to be a bunch of fucking nerds.
I was going to say, it's going to be just a bunch of nerds sitting in a room. Also, we're back in the crack den for once and out of Abigail's closet.
Yes. It's strange. It's warm. The lights are odd.
It's a regular light.
It's weird.
Abigail has, like, hospital lighting in her house. And I have much warmer lighting.
It makes me tired.
You have hospital lighting in your house.
I know. That's what I'm used to. That's what I go to work to.
I work underneath harsh fluorescent semi-hospital lighting at work, and that's enough for me. I'd get too depressed if I... Maybe that's why you're so depressed.
Well, that's also part of the reason that I live in the dark.
Okay, you need better lighting.
That wouldn't help my issue. Like, I still have light sensitivity.
Maybe since it makes you tired, you can actually sleep the amount that a normal person does.
I don't think that's ever gonna happen.
I will switch out your light bulbs, Abigail.
This is why you don't need a spare key to my house.
In the middle of the night, I will walk into your house and change all of your light bulbs while you're asleep.
I'm pretty sure I would wake up. Especially since you'd have to change the one that's right above my bed. I would definitely wake up to that, and my cat would also be meowing hysterically.
I'll just show up wearing like a plague doctor mask.
She would definitely meow at that.
No, so you wake up and you see that, and I'm just standing over you.
I would shoot you.
You don't own a gun.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I am.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you checked every inch of my house?
Yes.
Why are you like this? Anyways, what's your weird question of the day, in case this podcast couldn't get any weirder?
So, how would you feel the world would be different? The world, society, whatever. If nobody wore clothes.
I would hate it. Like, I myself am a person who very much likes clothes.
But, like, say, theoretically, clothes were never a thing.
I don't think...
Except for, like, you know, putting them on to stay warm from the cold. But not to, like, cover up for, like, modesty reasons.
I mean, I don't like the concept of modesty in the sense that, like...
It's too Christian-y for you?
I'm doing this to prevent men from sinning.
That's not what I meant.
But, like, I like clothes because they can make me look different or better than I do without them. Like, without clothes, it's very clear that I look like Jabba the Hutt.
I just took a drink right before she said that, and I almost spit it all over her.
But with clothes, especially, like, black hoodies, I can kind of hide the illusion a bit.
You don't look like Jabba the Hutt.
Thank you.
You have legs, not a tail.
I do think that there would be a lot less religious shame associated with clothes if they did not exist. And therefore people would feel more free to express themselves in certain ways that they don't. I also think that sexuality may not necessarily be seen as such a taboo or such a thing that's like, this is the devil. I just feel like it would change the way that we think about a lot of things. But it would also change the fact that we would get injured a lot more.
Injured how so?
Well, like, our clothes do protect us from, like, getting scratched on random things. Or, like, if you wear work boots on a construction site, like...
True. I mean, earlier I did kind of sort of kneel on broken glass. Yeah. I didn't tell Abigail about this beforehand. Long story short, an 8-foot fluorescent light bulb fell over at work. And, because for some reason it was just leaning up against the wall... I don't know why. And then it fell over and half of it shattered and I vacuumed it up.
Oh my god.
I was vacuuming up and then I stood back up and I was like, oh, and there's like a few pieces stuck to my pants.
Yeah, like clothes do provide a layer of protection against us getting injured that we would not have without them. And it does also keep us warm and prevent frostbite, stuff like that.
Everybody just relocates to near the equator.
That would be a lot of people.
About 8 billion people.
People would not survive if we all had to relocate to that small of an area.
I mean, well, like, relatively close.
Still.
I mean, even, like, you just go to, like, South Florida, and then...
People are not made to be packed that closely together.
The Wire City's a thing.
Cities are a thing because there's also other options. But if cities were the only thing that existed, people would lose their minds. So what are you talking about today?
We're talking about hell.
Ooh, which kind?
The Chinese version of hell.
Okay, so not the kind that you think I'm going to.
Eh. I might not really tell we're all going there.
Oh, okay.
No, oh, it's where we are all going. Sorry.
Okay.
So, We have very interesting note titles. I enjoy it. So, there's way too many names for this. And apparently they mean different things, but at this point they've just been used interchangeably, that they're all just kind of like the same thing at this point. Thankfully, I was able to find phonetic spellings of these.
Okay.
That... Also, I think this is our first time going into Chinese mythology.
I think it actually is, which is kind of weird.
We talk about Japanese enough.
Yeah, but I figured, like, Chinese mythology is very popular, so I figured you'd hit it pretty quickly.
Well, here we are, 48 episodes in. This is 48, right? I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. So, yeah. So it's the 10 courts of hell.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of similar to Dante's Inferno.
I was literally just about to reference that.
I've never read Dante's Inferno, but maybe I'll cover that at some point.
It's very interesting. I don't think you would like it.
Or at least, like, how hell is defined in that book.
It's very interesting.
I've heard about, like, all, like, different, like, rings or whatever.
Because to some degree, what hell looks like isn't even defined in the Bible. So, like, what Christianity defines as hell is very doctrine-based outside of biblical text. And so stuff like Dante's Inferno is so interesting because even though it wasn't meant to be something that shapes our perception of what hell is, it kind of has.
So.
That's a topic for another time. It's very exciting.
The list of names, there's D.U. Also, I apologize. I am probably going to butcher most of this because foreign pronunciations are not my thing.
We're very sorry.
Also, Huang Quan or Jiu Yu or Shiba Sendiu. I sincerely apologize, which translates to... That one translates to the 18 layers of hell, or Shidane Yan Lo, or the 10 courts of hell.
Okay.
So, apparently the entire... So the whole court system down there is... It was said to be the embodiment of justice and fairness. And... So, basically, the demons would comb through everything you've done in your life to decide on how you should be punished.
Okay.
I mean, well, not the demons, but we'll get to that. So, the first court is the court of King... King Guan? Probably mispronounced that. I did not look up the phonetic pronunciation of that, and I probably should have. I didn't look up the phonetic pronunciations for any of the... Because each court is ruled by a certain king.
Oh, okay.
Should have looked these up. So, in the first court, the king sorts through good and evil by basically meticulously combing through the files of your life.
That would be a really depressing day for the king. Like, Jesus.
Literally, that's his job. So he goes over all your past deeds, and then those who are classified as good and virtuous cross over a golden or silver bridge, it depends, towards paradise, while the wicked are dragged to face a magical mirror to confirm their sins, I guess, like...
Okay.
I don't know, I just kind of, like, imagine, like, Catholic confession, kinda. I don't know, I'm not Catholic. I just imagine, but, like, you're talking to yourself instead of a priest through a box.
What do you imagine Catholic confession to be?
I know that... Basically, whatever you see on TV. There's a priest in one half of this box, and you sit in the other half, and there's, like, a wall with it's kind of, like... I know what I'm trying to say, I just don't have the words to articulate it right now.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say, though.
Yes.
But there's, like, holes poked in it so you can talk to him.
Yes.
And the...
Or a curtain.
Or a curtain. Yeah. I'm not good at explaining things, but I have a podcast anyway. So, upon the confirmation of their evil deeds, imps take them away to the other courts to receive the appropriate punishment. So, no punishments are in the first court, just, you know, bureaucracy.
Honestly, that is a punishment in itself.
So, in the second court's where things start to get spicy.
I am concerned whenever you say the word spicy and whenever you, like, raise your eyebrows at me like that.
I have a very expressive face sometimes. Abigail can read all of my facial expressions.
Which is weird because I can read literally no one else's.
It's literally just mine. I don't know if, like, we've just been around each other enough for that, or if I just have a very expressive face.
I think the thing is, like, you are so ADHD that you also talk when you're giving these facial expressions, and so I can pair with what you're saying and what you're feeling with those facial expressions.
Okay, we've had full-on nonverbal conversations, Abigail.
I know, but, like, we've had enough conversations where I can, like, logistically pair this facial expression with this expression of emotion with this topic of conversation.
But you literally can't even do that with your own boyfriend.
I know, but that's because he's inconsistent.
Unless if it's like, there are some times where I can very discreetly, like, get Abigail to understand something solely through, like, minor facial expressions. It's really strange.
It's very strange because I'm very, I cannot read facial expressions.
Unless they're mine.
Like, there's a lot of times where I don't even notice some facial expressions. Or body language at all. Like, most people would see it and understand it. And my brain is just like, we don't need that information. Yeet it in the garbage. Bah.
Bah. So, yeah, so that's where things get spicy.
Oh, Lord.
So, Court 2 is the King of Chuzhang. So this is where robbers and the physically violent get shoved into volcanic streams to be burned alive.
I was expecting something related to sex when you said spicy. I'm disappointed.
Well, this also
it's just volcanoes.
It's also where corrupted officers, burglars, and compulsive gamblers get just thrown into an icy cavern.
I'm sorry, how is corrupted officers and compulsive gamblers on the same level?
I don't know.
Like, those things are not comparable to me.
Well, also, those who are guilty of defilement of sacred places, such as religious institutions, are subject to eternal drowning.
Me.
In the pool of defiled blood.
So me.
Yes, are you ready to get eternally drowned in the pool of defiled blood?
No.
Also, what makes blood defiled?
Maybe it just has, like, Hep C in it or something.
So, Court 3 is the Court of Songdi. So while the second court gives the impression of being quite large, the second one seems much smaller, and all the punishments happen right in front of the king in that one. Just staring at you.
So the king is a voyeur.
I don't... What was that tone? He's a voyeur.
I don't know.
So sort of the ungrateful, disrespectful, and those who have escaped prison are punished by having their hearts ripped out by imps.
I'm sorry, the disrespectful and those who have escaped prison. Like,
yes.
Who made these rules?
I don't know.
This makes even less sense to me than Christianity.
Just go with it. Because next to them are drug addicts, drug traffickers, tomb robbers, and unrest inciters, where they're chained to red-hot copper pillars to be grilled alive.
I'm an unrest inciter, aren't I?
Were you at the January 6th riots?
No.
Were you rioting in Canada last week?
No.
I think you're good.
Awesome.
Unless you're a drug trafficker or a tomb robber?
No, I don't think I've done either of those two things yet.
Traffic drugs or rob tombs?
Yeah, and I don't think I'm going to.
I mean, I've done both in video games.
I was about to yell at you.
So apparently, being attached to a hot pillar, which is also known as Pao Luo, is apparently a legendary punishment featured in many older Chinese movies. Particularly those about the hated Di Jin of the Shang Dynasty. It's unclear which or whether such gruesome punishment actually existed in ancient China.
Okay.
So next up is the court of King Wuguan. I don't know why my brain could not say that. So apparently he's supposedly the patron god of taxmen and business investors.
Okay.
I don't know. So, apparently he owns a huge mortar in which tax dodgers, rent dodgers, and business crooks, whatever those are pounded by spiky pestles. So yeah, like...
I'm guessing, like, the business thing. Crooks are, like, white-collar criminals.
I imagine so.
So, like, Bernard Madoff.
I don't know who that is. There you go. I've heard the term white-collar crime. I know it is, but I don't know who the fuck that is.
There's so much that I need to add to your education.
Maybe you can educate me on a podcast episode.
I'll think about it.
I mean, you do talk about crime. It is technically crime.
I'll think about it.
Crime isn't just murder, Abigail.
I know that.
So, other than the mortar, he also has a grindstone, which is used for those who were rude to their parents or disrespectful to their siblings.
I feel like that's every little kid ever.
Yes, so congratulations, you get to be ground down.
I mean, that's probably someone's kink somewhere.
I have no words.
Excellent.
All right. So apparently he also has, so even though this is right in front, apparently he also in his realm has what's known as the City of a Natural Death. So it is a walled city for those who died unnaturally or unjustly. And they can watch the suffering of their enemies before either going on to their own punishment or reincarnation.
I'm jealous. I want that in my life.
You want to be a part of the City of a Natural Death? That can be arranged.
I want to watch my enemies be punished.
That's why you just gotta do it yourself.
That's a joke, NSA.
So next up is the court of Yanlo. So this is in the middle of the 10 courts of hell. And one source said it is, since it's in the middle, it's befitting that it deals with the root of mankind's evils, a.k.a. money.
Okay.
So, the only punishment there is the Mountain of Knives. Basically, those who have plotted for money or the death of others is what this says. Basically,
okay.
And it says loan sharks, legal or otherwise, suffer the same fate as well. So I imagine they had to, like, walk up or down the Mountain of Knives.
Or I was just thinking, like, maybe they're in the middle of a mountain and they just get impaled by hundreds of knives.
I think they just get yeeted onto the top of the mountain and have to go down.
Okay. So it's like a horrendous hike, basically.
Yes. Okay. I mean, well, you're not a big fan of hiking in general because you got fucked up ankles.
That is true.
I think I tried to convince you to go hiking several times.
It would be a terrible idea. It would be very painful.
Meanwhile, I enjoy hiking.
No.
Yeah, no, I enjoy climbing mountains. We have 14ers here, which is just mountains over 14,000 feet.
No.
The last one I did was basically a lot of stairs. I also did the Manitou Incline, which is like over 2,000 steps.
I've heard.
And my calves wanted to die after that.
I think I would need to, like, slide down on my ass.
That's not possible.
I would find a way.
Once you get up to the top, there's, like, a long roundabout way to get back down to the parking lot. That's a slight slope. No stairs. Maybe God a couple bless. Stairs, but not, like... But you also just climbed over 2,000 steps.
I still couldn't do it.
I don't know. It was a good time, though. But then I dropped my, because I brought a coat with me because I got there pretty early in the morning, and I dropped it somewhere along the way because apparently my backpack wasn't closed all the way. So I had to walk all the way back down these stairs trying to find it, and I didn't find it. That was sad.
I wouldn't have walked back down those stairs for a coat. I would have been like, nah, fuck that coat.
It was a nice coat.
If I don't have, like, memories attached to the coat, fuck the coat. I'll buy another one next year. It'll just be cold the rest of the year.
So, the sixth court is, Bian Chang. And so the sixth court punishes those. So, this is a quote from one of my sources, and it was funny, I had to leave it in here. I said, the sixth court punishes those who have indulged in pornography. Yes, down you go, to be sawn in half if you have owned just one piece of pornography. Although I don't think anybody really owns pornography nowadays. That's just what websites are for.
Also, in ancient China, how did they do pornography?
I don't know. Maybe there was feudal strip clubs. I don't know.
But that wouldn't be pornography.
I don't know. Maybe there was like a...
I feel like there was a hostile takeover. A sexy cave carving? I feel like there was a hostile takeover of this doctrine. To include pornography when it wasn't originally there.
I don't know. But, so, also, in this are... Those who have misused books, broken laws, or wasted food. Oh, there's also cheaters, foul-mouthed individuals, and kidnappers, and they're left skewered on a tree of knives.
I would so be on the tree of knives.
Because you fit into a lot of...
Rude.
We've literally talked about carving books before.
Yes. Only Jordan Peterson.
Yes. Broken laws. You've broken laws before.
That's a joke, NSA.
You've gone 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. That's technically breaking the law.
Yes.
You ever shoplifted anything?
No.
I don't know. I haven't. I don't know. No. My sister tried to one time.
No, I wouldn't like that.
You are definitely a foul-mouthed individual.
Yes.
I mean,
especially for a lady.
There's a difference between being a woman and being a lady, Abigail.
Rude!
Now I hit my glasses on my microphone arm.
I feel like there's a specific waveform for me saying rude, and I now recognize it distinctly.
It looks a lot like me saying... So.
It looks like a diamond.
Yeah, it looks like how I say so. Which, by the way, I know exactly what it looks like when I say so or I know exactly how it looks. Shut up. So rude. So, also kidnappers. Abigail and I literally talk about kidnapping, quote-unquote kidnapping our friends. By that, I mean showing up at their doorstep and stealing them.
We're just forcing them to have a social life.
Yes.
Mainly because we're friends with a bunch of antisocial, awkward nerds.
And one of our friends is borderline agoraphobic.
I wouldn't even say borderline.
Yeah, so we just force him to come out of the house. And it's literally just to go over to Abigail's house with me and her.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's fine with talking to people online.
Yes.
And at this point, he's okay with going over to her house.
Yes.
And I just kind of tag along.
Fucking
no.
Weirdos.
We play board games. It's fun.
Yes.
I have a weird love for board games.
We played card games sometimes.
They ended up, on New Year's, you guys ended up watching Monty Python and the Holy Grail, because Abigail hadn't watched it. I passed the fuck out and don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
I've seen it before, but.
You don't, yeah, I wouldn't expect you to remember anything.
I was unconscious.
Yeah.
And, but I've seen it before, so. 'Tis but a flesh wound. Yes, so, down you go. to the Tree of Knives.
So Abigail is definitely on the Tree of Knives, and so
and
is
I
Wes.
Think you go through, like, all of the things that you fit into.
Fuck.
So, the seventh court is the court of King Taishan. So, this is, it said it deals with those who are wicked in words, which are liars, rumor mongers, gossipers, who have... They have their tongue slowly tugged out and clipped away by imps.
I feel like imps are just like the interns of hell.
Who doesn't love a good hell intern? So, next to them, there are rapists, conspirators for rape, and those who have forced others to their death. They're all boiled in oil.
I'm sorry. Gossipers and rapists are
they
in
have
the
no
same
they
category.
Have their tongue pulled out and slowly clipped away. Meanwhile, rapists, conspirators for rape, and those who have forced others to their death are boiled in oil.
That's just not same, harsh enough.
They're just in the same court.
That's not harsh enough.
So, and one source said, "This strange combination of punishments makes one wonder what the imps do with the tongues after removing them. Do they boil and feast on the tongues after the end of each day? Such a question is best left unanswered."
I feel like the imps, like, sell them in their little imp intern market.
Just sell it for, like, two hell dollars. Which, hell dollars are a thing, and we'll get to that later, but...
Yes. I feel like some of them do, like, really weird shit with the tongues. Like, there's always gotta be that one weird imp that's gonna, like, collect them and then, like, roll in a bathtub of them.
Ew.
I just grossed Wes out.
Ew. Also, did I ever tell you about the time that, one of our friends, he one time at church held a cow tongue?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, he's done a lot. Our friend has done a lot of weird shit. He hasn't been on here yet, but he might be at some point in the future. We don't have his permission to use his name on here.
Mainly because we haven't asked.
Yeah. But yeah, he held a cow tongue at church one time. And, like, carried it around the room. He was asked to by... He says...
That first... wouldn't be that bad to me. It's just, like, carrying it around.
Yeah. But, so... So the eighth one is the Court of King Dushi. It's D-U-S-H-I, but it's Dushi, and I find that hilarious.
That is amazing.
So.
I'm going to start calling you the Court of King Dushi.
No, my dog is King Dushi. I call my dog Douchebag all the time.
You are the Court of King Dushi.
Alright, so it's for those who have neglected their parents. Go. They're tied to racks and have their abdomens split and their intestines pulled out.
I'm sorry, but what about the parents who have neglected their children?
We don't talk about that. So while that's going on, there's also those who have harmed others to benefit themselves that are chopped into pieces. And those who have caused, quote, trouble for their parents and families, or who have cheated during exams, are punished with abdomen splitting.
Why is everything about people's parents? Like, parents can deal with it. They're adults. But, like, children? No.
We don't talk about that.
I'm offended on behalf of all children.
So, the ninth court is the court of King Pingdang. And... So, under mortal laws, criminals who have served their sentence are considered, you know, free, whatever. Not here. So, robbers, murderers, rapists, and other criminals are punished by being stripped and dismembered. So, first, you know, the rapists get boiled in oil and then stripped and dismembered.
Still not good enough.
So, those no criminal sense but are guilty of neglecting the old and weak are also punished by being slowly crushed under massive boulders.
Why is it all about the old? Who's protecting the children?
So, basically he cares about the way you treat others. Basically treat others the way you'd be treated. And Ping Ding means equality in Chinese, at least according to this website. I did not fact check that. So, and Abigail's probably going to kill me for that.
Yep.
This will be the last episode of the podcast. I will soon perish at the hands of Abigail.
No, I would kill you after we finished recording an episode that was an odd number. Just so your ghost form would be even more pissed off.
69?
No.
I already have episode 69 planned out.
It's going to be an episode number that would piss you off.
Like 73?
Do you dislike the number 73?
Yes, I despise the number 73.
Then like 73.
Okay, 73 will be our last episode. No. So next up is the last court is the court of King Lun Hui. So this is where the... So punishment ends here. So there's no... Well, there's no punishment here. And souls are brought before him to either... Souls are brought before the king to, So, this is the last court, so there's no punishment here, and the souls are brought before the king and are considered redeemed and ready for reincarnation. Under the laws of karma, evildoers will be reincarnated as, like, beasts and animals and such. So, and, you know, like, bugs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being reincarnated as a fucking locust. Or like a cricket.
Ew.
Abigail hates crickets.
There's only two bugs that I can't deal with, and it's spiders and crickets. Everything else is fine. Like, they don't gross me out, they're whatever. Crickets and spiders, no.
You know, I don't mind them. No. I just can't do stinging insects.
Stinging insects, I don't care.
You could literally be getting stung by thousands of bees and not give a shit, Abigail.
That is correct.
Meanwhile, I see one bee and I run in fear.
He literally made me pull over my car one time so he could get out of the car and run.
No, because there was a wasp in your car.
Yeah, it was a wasp.
Yeah, and you didn't even roll down the fucking window. I yelled at her bitch ass to pull over because we were on a side road.
It was like the Tracker. Which had manual windows. Oh, I couldn't roll down the window.
Yeah, she had like this like 1998 Geo Tracker.
I couldn't roll down the window because it had like a hand crank that you had
to do. I forgot about that.
You would have had to roll down the window, you fucking idiots.
Yes. But no, I made her pull over the car so that I could get out. And we opened up all the doors and waited for it to get out of the car.
And Wes ran away screaming like a little girl.
Yes, I'm terrified of bees.
Even though he's not allergic.
No, I'm not allergic. I don't know why. Did I tell you about the first time I was stung by a bee?
We're not talking about it right now.
It's funny.
We need to get through it.
It's an embarrassing story from when I was like 3.
Oh my god.
So, it's back when my family still lived in Ohio. We had this friend like 5 houses down. Literally don't remember anything about this kid or his family.
Sorry if you're that kid or his family.
I don't remember anything about this kid. Don't remember his name. Don't look like anything. But we were going over to his house because my family was friends with him. And they had like these really fucking low gutters. Like so much that like 3-year-old me could like reach up and touch it.
That's sketch.
It was really weird. And then I put my hand, and I, being idiot, like 3-year-old me, I decided to like put my hand in the gutter. And of course, it was right where a fucking bee was. And then my brother had to walk me home while I was crying. It was my own fault. So, but back to reincarnation. So, before being reincarnated, all souls are forced to, they all have to drink the soup of Granny Meng, which at first I had to say Granny Meg. So I'm just going to call it Granny Meg's soup. Just, what? So it's a magical potion that erases all memories of past lives. So the soup, that's all I have for you. But if you would like to visit the 10 courts of hell, you can. So you can visit a version of it in the south of Singapore. At the heart of it, there's a largely ignored statue. Oh, there's a statue park. Okay, I forgot that I wrote the word park there. So there's a statue park called Ha Par Villa. So it's a tourist attraction in the 70s. Although now it's mostly deserted and somewhat run down. It's a nice macabre spot for you to go visit. So, and the
Do your, like, senior pictures there?
Huh?
Do your, like, senior pictures there?
Yes.
This is the god of the Mountain of Knives.
So, the desolation of it also adds to, you know, the general creep factor of it. And apparently there's also a man-made version of the cave depicting where the people get thrown in the ice cave.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the second court, and I'm totally blanking.
It's a good thing that you wrote these notes ahead of time and totally could have gone back and checked.
You act like I'm smart enough to do that. P.S. So that's all I have for you for hell.
And hell it was indeed.
Everyone's favorite segment, Spooky Fun Fact.
So, up to 90% of koalas have chlamydia.
I already knew that.
And apparently, they're vaccinating koalas against chlamydia.
I did not actually know that. But that's smart.
Also, have you ever seen a picture of a wet koala? They're fucking terrifying.
Yes.
We'll throw a picture of a nice wet koala in the sources page or on social media. It's going on social media, probably. And if you want to see it, you can visit us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Pen and Purgatory. Now, what fresh hell do you have for us today?
Today we're going to talk about a mystery which has remained unsolved for nearly 60 years and continues to be vexing to investigators. Even though the statute of limitations has run out and anyone coming forward as the perpetrator would not get charged, no one has ever been identified as a strong suspect. Today we're going to talk about, we are going to go to Japan in December of 1968.
Okay.
So December 6th, 1968, a bank manager of the Nippon Trust Bank, located in Kokubunji, Japan.
Oh, both of us are going to be mispronouncing everything this episode.
That is the only time, I think. Which is a city in the western portion of the Tokyo metro area, received a letter demanding 3 million yen from the bank or he would have his work and home bombed. The manager was supposed to have a bank cashier bring the money to a nearby location before 5 p.m. the next day. The bank manager did the right thing and called the police rather than attempting to steal the funds for the blackmailer.
So, how much money was it?
3 million yen.
And what is the conversion rate of that?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
So, the police's response was strange, to say the least. They sent 50 officers to stake out the bank.
What? Why?
So, looking at old pictures of the bank, it's a sizable building. However, I don't think you can covertly hide 50 officers inside a bank that size. And, like, a stakeout implies that you're trying to, like, do so quietly and, like, not be detected by the person that you're looking for. So, like, 50 officers.
Typically, like, when I think of stakeouts, and again, TV things, people just sit in the car outside.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot for 50 officers.
I like to think that they're, like, hiding inside of bushes, just, like...
Or, like, broom closets.
Or just riding around broom, playing Quidditch on the ceiling.
So, nevertheless, no one actually approached the bank with any intent to do harm that day, or another day. So it wasn't until December 10th that anything happened.
And what did you say it was in October originally?
December 6th.
Oh.
Was the day that they got the threat.
Okay.
Since the holidays were coming soon, the bank was putting together its employee bonuses. To do this, 300 million yen had to be transferred from one place to another. 300 million yen in 1968 is roughly equivalent to $9,447,174.15 today.
Okay.
I did the math myself.
Well.
I checked it 3 times.
But did you use inflation and conversion calculators?
Yes.
Do you convert it to dollars first and then account for inflation? Or did you account for inflation first and then convert it to dollars?
I accounted for inflation first and then I exchanged it to dollars.
Okay.
Because inflation is dependent on the currency. This amount makes sense as how much a bank this big would be giving out in bonuses. Since the Nippon Trust Bank was doing well in 1968, and so was the Japanese economy at the time. As do most countries after wars, their economy was booming after the Korean War. Banks often thrive when the rest of the country is thriving, and Nippon Trust was no exception. So after the bomb threat, the four drivers of the money van were very skittish. Obviously. Wire transfers and, like, digital money transfers just weren't done like they are now. Now, most banks don't have to have most of their money in the actual bank. Businesses move far too fast for it to make sense to keep all in their, like, actual bank facilities and spend time transferring it from place to place that quickly. So banks have an agreement. Money is a digital commodity. And if a patron goes to their bank and withdraws, that bank gives the patron their money. And if the bank was getting low, they would call one of the other banks and exchange one of their IOUs from other banks and get, like, physical currency delivered. So, 1968, not the same thing whatsoever. To write checks to each employee, they had to have their physical currency in their bank. Since most employees would be likely to have their accounts at the bank, they would be withdrawing their funds there too. So the van was heading to its destination with its four drivers, who were already pretty freaked out. They noticed a white motorcycle with a driver wearing a police uniform who signaled them to pull over. He informed them that the bank had been blown up, along with the bank manager's house.
The bank got blown up and the bank manager's house?
Just like the threat said. The man also told them that the police had reason to believe that their specific van was hooked to a bomb as well. So the officer climbed underneath the car and yelled at the men in the van to get out now.
I think I've heard this before.
Smoke began pouring out from underneath the van, and the drivers, like, ran the fuck away because they were like, smoke's coming out, like, the police officer's under there, I am out. Like,
but it wasn't an actual bomb and somebody robbed the truck, right? Stole your plot twist.
Yeah,
fuck. I've heard this somewhere.
But the van didn't blow up.
It was just like a smoke bomb.
When the officer climbed out from underneath the van, he climbed into the driver's seat and drove away. The van's drivers went to investigate the smoking thing left on the road and quickly realized that it was a flare. A flare is something most people who have gone hunting and some who have gone camping, fishing, or hiking may recognize. It's like a plastic casing which contains chemicals. When those chemicals are mixed, they combust and create a lot of smoke. So when smoke starts pouring out from under the van, it was coming from a completely harmless source. The purpose is to create a lot of smoke. It's literally there to help people get found. Because the idea is, it's a lot easier to track smoke than it might be to, like, track, oh, well, there's that random person's footprint, or, like, well, there's their random hair on the trail. Like, especially in a very dense forest, it can be very difficult to find someone. So something like a very clear and direct location having smoke coming from it is very easy to track in comparison.
Just start a forest fire. That's the easiest way to get found.
No.
Just start a whole ass forest fire.
No. So there was no bomb. The bank hadn't been bombed, and neither had the manager's house.
Damn.
The man wasn't a police officer either. So once the drivers realized that this was, like, a theft,
they got duped.
And they had been played for fools. They called down, like, the actual police. Despite the cleverness and balls of the theft, there was actually a ton of evidence left behind.
I will say, that guy did have a lot of balls doing that.
Yeah. The first one being his fucking motorbike that he drove up in. Because it was left there. It was clear upon further inspection that this was not a police motorbike, since no police motorbikes in Japan were a Yamaha brand.
I like to think he was just driving around on a hot pink moped and left it at the scene.
No. He had literally taken a normal motorbike and painted it white. To look like a police motorbike.
What?
So, the box which was on the back of the police motorbikes to hold evidence was actually just a cookie container spray painted white.
Cookies. Hey, that must be some good cookies. Do we know what kind of cookies were in there? If any cookies?
No.
Dang it. These are the important questions that I have to know the answer to.
I couldn't find the answer, I'm sorry.
Why not?
I can't go back to 1968 and ask them.
Maybe you should.
And I also can't read Japanese.
Maybe you should learn. I know some people who can.
I do too. So, the bike itself had been recently stolen, along with the license plates on it, and the megaphone attached to the bike and painted to look police issue had been stolen by at a nearby construction site. So, essentially all the evidence that they had, over 120 pieces of evidence, was not useful at all.
Wow.
The only piece which could tie back to the thief was the DNA sample left by saliva.
What?
It was on the stamp, on the letter, initially mailed to the bank manager with the threat on it.
Alright, well, that's just a basic bitch mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only noobs make that mistake.
So obviously, it being 1968, they didn't have a criminal database of DNA, or even a way to match it to a suspect if they had one. So all they could tell from the DNA sample was that the thief had type B blood.
Okay.
They couldn't even tell, like, positive or negative RNA.
Do you even know what your blood type is?
AB positive.
She sounds unsure.
Yes. I am unsure.
If you don't know what your blood type is, you should probably go find out.
Eh.
Well, I mean,
if you need a blood transfusion, they're going to type and cross you anyway. They're not going to take your word for it. They're going to test you every single time.
Mm.
So even if you do know it, doesn't matter. They're still gonna check.
Okay, well, fine. Completely disregard that, then.
You should still know, but
continue.
Okay. So, type B blood fits approximately 11% of the population.
Alright.
So, not that helpful. So, even if, with all this evidence, the investigators had basically nothing to go off of. The van drivers came up with a sketch, along with, like, a police sketch artist, but it is a very, very, very general sketch. It could match any number of men living in Japan at the time.
Do you have this?
Yes. Let me pull it up.
Ooh. That's a damn good sketch. That looks like a picture.
It's also very generic, though.
Yes.
We'll attach the photo in the sources page. So, not only that, but several of the drivers would also go on to say that they couldn't even be sure that the sketch was accurate because they didn't really get a good look at the guy. Because for most of it, they saw, like, police guy giving them, like, brief instructions, and then he was underneath the car. And then they ran away. So they only saw him for maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So there was really only one suspect the police ever zeroed in on. And the public knows him only as Boy S.
That's real fucking specific.
Yeah. He was 19 and had been known to commit crimes before. He was also a police officer's son. He looked very similar to the picture, which a lot of people do, and a lot of people did. So the police brought the four drivers to see the boy, and they confirmed that he looked a lot like the sketch that they had made, and looked a lot like the driver. They couldn't say for sure that it was him, but that he looked a lot like them.
Mm-hmm.
That night, unfortunately, he committed suicide by consuming potassium chloride.
Okay.
Not potassium chloride, potassium cyanide. Which, A, Jesus Christ, and B, how the fuck did a 19-year-old gain access to potassium cyanide?
Fun fact about cyanide, it smells vaguely like almonds and 60% of the population can smell it.
And when your body is cut open for an autopsy, your blood will also smell like almonds.
Oh, I did not know that. Wow. Jonestown must have smelled very interesting.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, he had to be cleared of the crime after he died, because he wasn't there when they did clear him. And his blood type did not match, and neither did his handwriting.
Mm.
Handwriting analysis is pretty bogus forensics, as we have discussed before. But blood type is a lot more solid. He wasn't type B, so...
You can't, like, fudge your blood type. Well, I mean, you could if you're determined enough.
Here's the thing. If you've had, like, a donation of an organ, and they test that specific area, it can come back as, like, that person's blood type instead of yours.
Don't you have to have matching blood types for...
Not necessarily.
Hmm.
99% of the time, doctors will want it to be matching blood types because there's a very high rate of rejection if it's not, but fun fact.
Only semi-spooky.
Yes. Also fun fact... It wasn't actually him who gained access to the potassium cyanide. His father purchased it.
Just casually purchased some cyanide.
The police officer.
Yeah, no, I just casually keep some cyanide in my medicine cabinet.
If we had, like, a generic conspiracy theory noise, I would insert it here.
We should make one.
Anyways... So that is pretty much where the case remains today. There have never been any good suspects, and no one has ever come forward. At this point in time, it's pretty likely that no one will. As I mentioned before, the statute of limitations has worn out, meaning that even if someone walked into a police station and signed a confession, they couldn't actually be charged or punished with a crime.
Hmm.
So... By honestly drowning the police in random red herring evidence, and with a puff of smoke, some man disappeared with almost $10 million in today's currency.
You probably moved to a different fucking country.
Probably. I mean, at this point, he's probably still alive, but he's living his good days in retirement. Why the fuck would he fuck that up? Unless he ran out of money and wants to make more money off the publicity. Like, that's the only instance in which I could see him coming forward.
Yeah, no, if you're smart with it, you can live off of $10 million for your whole fucking life.
Absolutely. I definitely could.
Just buy a house, you won't have to pay rent.
Yeah. That would be great. I'm just thinking of, like, the amount of rent that I will have to pay over the course of my life.
Oh, gosh. So much rent. Or mortgage if you buy a house. But good fucking luck with that.
Yeah, we live in Denver, Colorado. It's a very expensive place to be right now.
Yes.
Very expensive.
Very expensive. The fuck is that? You never talk like that.
This is me being brain dead, I guess. Alright, I think that's all we have for today. You can check us out on our social medias.
At Pen and Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You can send us emails. Send us your spooky, scary stories, fictional and non-fictional.
At pensandpurgatory@gmail.com.
You can rate us on Facebook and
Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts would be the best way to help us grow. Tell your friends. Tell your wives, tell your husbands. Tell your friends' husbands. Tell your husband's friends. Your wife, your wife's friends, your friends' wives.
Don't tell your children.
Don't tell your children, unless they're over 18.
Then it's acceptable. Anyway.
All right. And until next time.
See you later. Bye.